Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, everyone. This is Ari Koppel with Shattering the Matrix. Tonight we have Beth Green as our special guest. And I recently learned about Beth, just going through different subject matters of things that are interesting to me and the type of subject matter that I like to write about. And I came across this YouTube video called Delusional Thinking and the Magic of Reality. And that's exactly what I write about, and that's exactly what I'm trying to teach others about, because it's time to awaken about the realities of this world and the type of delusion that we currently have via false spirituality. And so when I ran into this particular video, it was like, oh my gosh, is this fantastic? Another person is actually speaking about it and actually putting it on YouTube. So I felt very compelled not only to post it, which the type of reaction I got was absolutely, you know, just through the roof, because I have a feeling people are hungry to know this type of information. I think it's time, you know, that we knew this. But I felt compelled to contact Beth and have her as a guest on the show. So without further ado, I want to introduce you to Beth Green. Beth, how are you today?
Oh, I feel so excited to be with you today, Ari. I feel the same way. It's like meeting a relation.
Exactly.
One that you didn't know you had.
Exactly. And I feel very, very connected to you, in so many different levels, as because we've been speaking behind the scenes. There's so much common you know, ground between you and I. And,
I know.
Right? And lineage-wise and just philosophical, you know, type of ways of looking at things and that type of thing. But tell the audience, if you don't mind, Beth, more about you. What led you to this path and what is your mission right now?
Well, thank you, Ari. That is such a big question, and you know, stop me because I could talk about that forever.
Right, I hear you.
And don't let me do that. But I guess I need to say that I started out with a highly developed consciousness as a very young child, and I don't know why. It's one of the mysteries of the universe. You know, when I was 5 years old, I was going around giving lectures on ethics to all the adults in the area who wanted to listen or who didn't want to listen, about prejudice and so on. And I don't know where I got this from.
Yeah.
It was just there. I was born with this consciousness. And it was very, very alienating. And mm-hmm. It's funny, this is what I feel drawn to talk about it, which I wasn't planning on. But, you know, it really fits in with the introduction that you just gave about finding relations.
Sure.
I felt so alone. I didn't have anything to do with any of the other children. I didn't want to play with dolls. I didn't want to grow up to be a mommy. And not that that's a bad thing, but it just wasn't my thing.
Right, it wasn't your
calling. And I developed as a very, very young child an interest in psychology and in politics. And I grew up in the McCarthy period.
Wow.
The McCarthy period was very, very right-wing, as you know, anybody who smacked of socialism or communism was getting fired or executed or sent to jail or whatever. And in 1959, I was 9 years old, I absolutely came to the conclusion that I was a socialist. Now,
okay.
The part of the reason that I became a socialist because I was so horrified by what was going on in our nation, mm-hmm. the anti-communist movement, was enough to make me say, whatever they're against, I'm for. But the idea of it, you know, the philosophy behind it, which is from each according to his ability to each according to his needs, that's actually the Karl Marx's definition of communism. It was appealed to me, you know, because I saw the suffering, and I thought maybe we could fix it from the outside. So here I was extremely alienated from everybody my age, plus the adults. I became chronically ill when I was 15 years old and became, severely ill. And so I spent a lot of my life in bed or in a chair staring out the window. So there's more isolation from the traditional consciousness of the society because I'm just not in it.
Sure.
And I also I got out of bed and went to college when I was 16, which is very, very difficult physically. And
wow.
I've been really disabled since I'm 15 and I'm 70, so that's a long way.
Yeah.
To be chronically ill. But I did manage to go to school and get expelled the first year for going on a Ban the Bomb march.
Oh boy.
and that was back in 1961. You see, so talk about, I just didn't fit in with, there were 14 people marching around the White House.
Wow.
And you know, I was one of them, and uh-huh. I got expelled from Smith College, which was a very fancy Ivy League school that I had a scholarship to it, because I was a poor girl from Brooklyn, you know. Anyway, but that sense of being outside and not relating, I could see. I mean, the positive side of that is I could see
yep.
what was going on in society.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't buy into any of it, whether it was political or social. I didn't shave. I didn't, you know, wear makeup. I didn't wear a bra. I just didn't feel any of this made any kind of sense to me. And I didn't think that the political approach that we had, where it was the power grabs of the wealthy, which I saw firsthand, by the way, and that's when I got to Smith College. And so there was that revolutionary side of me that really got expression. And until I was in my mid-30s, I worked in the anti-war, anti-Vietnam War community organizing, women's movement, you know, anti-apartheid, all that kind of stuff. That's where it was, because I couldn't stand human suffering.
Yeah.
I couldn't stand seeing all the suffering.
Sure.
And then I had a just complete breakdown, because I realized that the political movement in itself was just so riddled with anger and hatred, I couldn't stand that either. You know, I didn't know where to put myself.
Right.
And sexism, oh my God, you know, in the early days, you know, it didn't matter how smart I was. I was still bringing in the coffee and these men were sitting there, you know, talking bullshit. And this is just the truth. It's the way it was. Thank God for the women's movement. I was very active in that. But anyway, I got burnt out really badly, and in my mid-30s, I was done, and met an alcoholic, and went to a meeting of for people who were families of alcoholics, and saw these spiritual people, and I thought, oh my God, you know, they're going to say the Lord's Prayer. On top of everything, I came from a Jewish background. Uh-huh. Not that I practiced that religion. I was against religion. I was an atheist. I was a Marxist, you know?
Yeah.
I don't mean like a communist like the Soviet Union. I mean, I actually read Marx, believe
right.
it or not.
Right.
And I could see what he was trying to do.
Mm.
And it wasn't what I was seeing in the Soviet Union either. But anyway, you know, reality sets in. But I looked at these people, and they're talking the Lord's Prayer, and that's Christian. And yet I looked at their faces, and I said, oh, my God, these people have something I don't have.
Huh.
They had a sense of serenity that I did not have. And I said, I think I better sit down, shut up, and listen. And maybe there's something for me to learn here. And I instantly had a spiritual awakening.
Wow.
I mean, instantly I could feel God started talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 years later, I had a full-blown psychic awakening where I started to channel what they call the masters. And that's a long story about what that's really all about. It's not as simple as people. It's not like man walking around up, you know, in the heavens talking to us. But anyway, I was able to tap into higher consciousness. And the day that that happened, I started becoming an intuitive counselor, and people started coming to me, and I had this incredible change of life, which was really good, because having been chronically ill, I could barely get up or move or do anything. I was on disability when I was 29 years old because I was totally disabled, but managed to try to work a little bit by writing, which was torture, and I finally had a job that I could do in bed, at home, don't write, just talk.
Right.
And I couldn't always do that either because I would lose my voice because of my health. But anyway, so it was a constant struggle. Everything was a struggle. But this inner voice said to me, don't read anything, don't study anything, just be a blank slate that I can write on. That was God speaking to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to get insight into people. I just didn't know where it came from. I would know things that I didn't know that I could possibly know.
Wow.
And I would speak authoritatively on subjects I knew nothing about. So it was about all spiritual topics and psychological issues. And I started doing counseling and immediately was thrust into the whole issue of how are we going to change human consciousness. I had been trying to change it from the outside.
Sure.
Now I was trying to change it from the inside. It was the inner revolution.
Yep.
And immediately, of course, came up against the ego and did not know how to handle it. Did not really have any understanding, but I was so psychic and so intuitive and so sensitive that I could feel everything, but I really didn't know what to do with it. Now, that was 1980.
Huh.
That was 35 years ago when I embarked on this part of my journey. And just a few weeks ago, Ari, because you're incredibly psychic, you contacted me right now.
Right.
I've made another huge turn in my journey. And going much more for public outreach and communication rather than counseling and healing.
Interesting.
So I've been trying to, because what I believe is that people are so traumatized and messed up that we can't follow these spiritual teachings.
Correct.
You know, we try, but it just shames us because we feel, you know, we're still us.
Yep. I agree.
I finished meditating and I'm still me. And I know that these practices have value, but they have not changed humanity. So the combination of, you know, the psychological work, which I've done through the counseling, totally learning intuitively, and the spiritual teachings, which came to me out of the blue, and all of these, and the organizations and the support, the development of support, that was the whole idea of creating a spiritual organization, is to create support for people to change, really, really changed people. And I ended up writing this book, Living with Reality. It was my fifth book, and it really is a blueprint for how we are going to change consciousness. But the first thing we have to confront is the ego. And God gave me a way of seeing the ego, which was not all negative, like, oh, kill the ego.
Right.
You know, yep. You're a piece of scum.
Right.
But the ego has a purpose.
It
but
sure
it's,
does.
It's out of control.
Yeah.
And that is getting a grip on how we are going to help the ego to evolve. And the other piece that has been very important is seeing God as being evolutionary instead of perfect, and having a real living relationship with a higher consciousness rather than having that separation between the perfect God and the scummy us. That is something also that came to me in the early 80s. So all of this came together in these modalities that I've used and developed. I have an intuitive counseling school, for example, to help people to heal. But my job now is to move more towards the communication, to the bringing people's awareness, and leave the support to the people, you know, the counselors and the people in the Stream Center for the New Spirituality and for all the other people who are out there doing the healing work, and really to try to tune into the highest level of consciousness I possibly can, to bring the message that we all have to face together, and hopefully to reach people, and it reached you. So you see, I told you you're going to be sorry that you asked me that question.
But no, I'm not. I think it's a fantastic answer, and it shows us who you are. And, you know, the thing is that a lot of the things that you've expressed, you know, it's very similar as to the alienation that I felt as a child as well. I think we all, you know, kind of, if we're going to be in this world trying to help, you know, change that consciousness,
yes.
I think that we, the ones that are really trying to do something, have had a very interesting and strange childhood. You know, have you noticed that? I mean, it's like,
yeah.
I know that you have had one, I've had one, and the people that I know that are in the midst of trying to help awaken this consciousness and all that have had really very lonely type of childhoods, and it's
yes.
got to be like that for a reason, you know?
Well, and there, that brings us to today,
right.
Which is today we're reaching out. And a couple of years ago, I felt like my new thing was going to be to find my relations. And how do you find your relations without speaking?
Right.
And I believe that we are all one. We're all the same. You know, that whatever I have, you have, whatever you have, I have. But for some reason, we have, like, different levels of the same things. I mean, we all have bodies, for example. Some of us have more functional ones than others.
Right.
Some of us, we all have a connection to the divine, but for some of us, it's stronger or more immediate. So it isn't that separates us. We are still one. But there are those of us who have been given this particular job.
Sure.
And that's all it is. It's a job to do, which is to be able to tune in more and more to that divine consciousness so that we can break the addiction to human consciousness, to the way that we think, to everything we believe that's getting in the way of our seeing reality and dealing with it, because it's time. We have to deal with our problems or it's over for us as a species, which in itself might not be such a bad thing.
Exactly. Now, let me just, you know, continue that train of thought, because you brought in a lot of good points, and I think that I would like for you to explore what the New Age movement has actually done. Because, you know, there's a lot of good information that came from that, and there's a lot of disempowering information that came from that.
Yes.
And one of the things that I see, you know, because obviously
yes.
I can observe like you, and you know, if we choose to observe, we can see that the world hasn't really gotten that much better, and maybe it's on the turn, maybe for worsening than, you know, than getting better. So what is your take on this whole thing? Because, again, following up with that delusional thinking and the magic of reality, you did touch on that. I was wondering if you could expand on that a little bit for us.
Oh, I would love to.
And I know you would. I know you would love to.
I mean, you know, you ask me questions I want to answer. I mean, how can I not love you? well, I have to admit this first. Okay. By the way, everything that I teach, I always start with examining myself.
Sure.
I think self-awareness is what's missing, right? And I can't recommend self-awareness to you if I don't recommend it and practice it myself.
Correct.
So rigorous and ruthless self-honesty is the number one. Okay. The thing about the New Age movement, so I want to disclose this, is when I was getting messages from God, like, there is no perfect God, it's evolving, I am not your father, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And don't puff yourself up and get out of ego and all. That was not what was happening at the time in the New Age movement. This was in the 80s. It was going just the opposite direction. And all of my, you know, my clients would read my book. I wrote a book called The Healing of God, which is about how God isn't healing us, but that we are healing God, because we are the God that's in the process of evolution. And so putting out these ideas, well, at the same moment as I was teaching this, people were talking about The Secret and, you know, manifestation consciousness and all of that. And I could see all of my clients just leaving.
Right.
And full disclosure, and I said, what? What? Where are they all going? Why aren't they listening to me?
Right.
Of course, it had to be me, right? Yeah. Why are they listening to me? Why listen to them? Well, it's pretty obvious. So I mean, Terry Cole Whitaker, Get Rich Quick, and I'm sitting there thinking, what does this have to do with spirituality? I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. So I started out really with a negative feeling about that whole New Age movement, I have to confess. But I also want to say that I see the positive of where it comes from is that we started out with a kind of pacifist spirituality, which is the churches have taught us to not think and just to follow rigmarole and don't question. And whatever God says, you're supposed to say, yes, God, whatever you say, God, you know, Father knows best kind of God. Very immature way of being with God, if there is a God, whatever God is. I think of that as the highest level of consciousness, of the integrated consciousness. But anyways, because I have a relationship with whatever this wisdom is. But you think about it, it's very childlike, and it's very passive. And, of course, that's the kind of God that we see in the New Testament, who kind of tells you what to do, and you're supposed to say yes. And then you go to the synagogue, like the first monotheist, and you say the glory, and all you do is you praise God for an hour and a half, and then you go home, and you still have bunions. And
right.
You know, that really never made any sense to me. But so I think a lot of the people in the New Age movement were reacting to that and saying, no, we don't want to be passive. We don't want to just, like, surrender to God's will. Oh, we have something to do with our lives. But they took it, of course, like how it is. You have a little knowledge is a dangerous thing.
Sure.
It's like, yes, we have something to say. So then they went to the other extreme. Well, we create reality. I mean, that was the most astonishing piece of nonsense I've ever heard in my life.
Yep.
You know, I walk outside, there are trees everywhere, but I created that, you know? I mean, I, little me, my own little ego, I'm creating reality. I can make, people say, oh, I make the clouds disappear. I said, yeah, if you stand there and you look at the clouds long enough, they all disappear. I mean, it's ridiculous. Well, see, what I was taught was the law of co-creation. In the Living with Reality book, I have 9 platforms, and becoming co-creative is the third one. Becoming oneness, becoming differentiated, becoming co-creative. We are one, but we are individuated in the context of oneness. God deflated me 100% very early in my life, in the 80s, in my spiritual life, when I said, who am I? Because, you know, I was so amazed at my spiritual gifts, I didn't know what to make of myself, right? Because I was so damn psychic, and people would come to me, and I would see things about them, and I really, honestly did not know what to do with this. Remember, I was an atheist. So I said, so God, who am I? And God said, I'd like you to go over to the stream. He said, now look in the water. You are the drop of water that's different from all the rest. And I said, well, I don't see it, God. Which drop is that? And then God said, that's my point.
Yep.
And so I got it. You know, I am part of a collective consciousness. Even the fact that I'm having this conversation with you means that there's someone else in the universe who's having the same thought, because we are all one. it's not like you and I are the only ones, right? As you've been talking about that. There's a movement in within the consciousness of the whole. And so back in the early 80s, when I was talking about the healing of God and the oneness with God and not separating from God, someone else must have been having that thought, because that was in God's consciousness.
Exactly.
See? In the consciousness of the whole.
Correct.
And so that whole thing about I create reality is based on the illusion that there is an I that is separate from all the rest to start with.
Mm-hmm.
So how could I create reality when I don't even exist? You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
As a separate entity, I do not exist. And just the absurdity of it. And people have their egoic agendas, like, I want to get a big house, or I want to get ahead in my career, or I want money, or whatever. And they really think the universe is supposed to bend to that. They're going to do six things and have a board that they stare at, or, you know, play with money, or whatever it is that they're going, like attracts like, and suddenly all this money is going to come to you. So, well, where did God go? I thought that there was a God, that meaning that there was a whole and that it had its own evolution. So that whole thinking about manifesting is fundamentally egoic. It's like, this is about me. And the other thing that's so ridiculous about it is, if you have five people applying for the same job and they're all practicing manifestation consciousness, they're all going to get that job. Well, how are they all going to get that job?
Well, because one's God is more important than the other one. I think that's the only way to think that.
Explain but, that one.
Yeah. And wait a minute, just real quick.
Yeah.
Where is the action involved with all this? Because, you know, a lot of people are really under the impression that they can just sit under a tree, perhaps, and visualize this all day long, meditate on this, and it's just going to be granted, put on their lap, with them having even to lift a finger. What is your thought on that?
Oh, my God, I couldn't agree with you more. So the irony is that we went from passivity to another form of passivity.
Mm-hmm.
We think we're going to twist in the universe around to meet our needs. So I completely agree with that. The fact is that the reality is that, let me give you the definition of co-creation, is that we co-create reality with the universe in a subtle dance of intention and allowance. And that's what it is. I mean, we can intend from today to next year, but the universe is going to do what it's doing. It's like you can't get there faster in rush hour traffic. I don't care how, you know, much you think or meditate or whatever. So it can really encourage passivity, as you're saying, as you wait for things to manifest themselves, or you become totally frustrated because you're knocking your brains out and you're doing all your manifestation consciousness and things don't work out. But even worse, if they do, you take credit for it.
Sure.
You think you did it. You know, I can't imagine, where did spirituality go? I mean, where is the universal consciousness? Where is God in magical thinking? It's not there.
Yeah.
We are the manifestors, because of the ego is manifesting. So we have to get the ego out of all of it, out of the religious belief that we are scum and God is great, because that's just God's ego prancing around trying to look innocent when God created this universe, which sucks.
Right.
And we have this magical thinking that we can create reality like we are God. You know, first we make God great, and then we are the God that's great, rather than we are one organism. That would be like the skin cell trying to call the shots.
Correct, yeah.
For the whole body.
Yep. That's a great point. That is a great point. And what, you know, I also feel that, you know, the what you said, we're scum, and, you know, that we think we're the scum, and then there's a God outside ourselves, and with that thinking, we've given our power to others who are telling us how things are, how we're supposed to think, how we're supposed to connect, you know, if there is even a connection. They're almost, and I call them spiritual brokers. They're in between here, between God and you, and they're telling you how things are. And a lot of it, I find, is pure disinformation. And a lot of that disinformation, of course, is disempowering us. It really is not leading us closer to that connection that we really want. It's really separating us even more, is what I think.
That is so true. My latest video, which is How Ego Hijacks Spirituality, really talks about how people use spirituality as a way of hiding their egoic agendas, to oppress people, to exploit people, and make people think that this is God said this.
Yep.
So this is exactly what you're talking about too, Ari, that and sometimes people don't even realize they're doing it because they're so steeped in the tradition. I mean, it's like, what is the justification for binding women's feet in China, right?
Yeah.
There is, I don't care what you say, how much cultural relativism you have, there is no excuse for binding women's feet. There's no excuse for women to have to wear high-heeled shoes.
Right.
You know, it's a new way of crippling women, if you ask me. And we do it. And then, just like the Chinese women bound the feet of their own daughters, we, you know, women in our society encourage their daughters to get into these stupid clothes that constrict their bodies, you know, make them sick, put chemicals on their hair, you know, look like clowns, and which is what I think makeup is. So it's, you know, there it is. And yet we do it to ourselves because we're so steeped in it that we don't even realize that this is just stupid. That this is, when I say it's stupid, I mean it's so destructive. It's so destructive that, you know, I used to think that being an adult meant smoking cigarettes and drinking.
Yeah.
I don't know if you went through that phase.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh, my God, because I saw the Marlboro man and the whatever woman, and I wanted to be like that. I wanted to do the rite of passage. So I didn't have a bat mitzvah. Instead, I started to drink and smoke cigarettes, which, of course, was totally destructive, and I had to stop. But there it is. I mean, the stuff that we absorb that we don't even question.
Yep. Well, I find that not questioning as well within the spiritual community nowadays. There's no questioning, and we follow a lot of the information that has been given to us by these so-called spiritual teachers, if we can call them that, without questioning, because we deem them to know more than we know, and we deem them to be more connected than we are.
Well, I think that's very true, and I think that there's another reason, which is that we want it to be true.
And we want it to be true.
We either want the God to be above us who is going to fix everything and make everything okay, even though it's very obvious that it's not, or we want it to feel powerful enough to make life be okay. We still want it to be okay, right? But then we were going to do it.
Sure.
And I look at these aging New Agers, and they, you know, they used to laugh at me because I was sick, and they would say, you know, how could you be who you say you are? And I never said I was anything, by the way. How could you be who you say you are when you're sick? You know, you should be having, you know, glowing health. And I had a visitation from Yogananda. I'm sure many of you have heard of Yogananda. Anyway, you know, Yogananda came to me, whatever that means. I mean, I think that's a certain level of consciousness and connection that I connected to. Mm-hmm. And Yogananda said, don't let anybody ever shame you about your health. He said, they don't know what you're doing here.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
They have no idea.
Yep.
And it was so supportive to hear that because, I mean, evidently, if I was thinking positively, I wouldn't be sick. I don't know. You know, I wanted to say, you be born with my body, and then you tell me that.
Yeah, well, no, you remember that, you know, you created your own reality, right?
Exactly. I chose this.
Yeah, you chose that. Exactly.
I'm just like, oh, really? Mm-hmm. Oh, come on. But anyway, all these ideas are just like, there's no common sense to them. But there it is. And so many aging New Agers who can't maintain the illusions anymore because they've never gotten rich despite all of their magical thinking, or they got rich and they started snorting cocaine because it wasn't what it was cracked up to be. Or their relationships fell apart, or they're phony, or they got, you know, they're getting older and they're getting sicker, and they can't maintain that anymore. It's like, okay, when reality clashes with our beliefs, which has to go? And, you know, most of us say, well, reality has to go because we're going to cling to our beliefs no matter what.
Sure. Yeah.
But for many people, it's running out. It's running its course.
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't gotten so many positive responses from people to my videos.
Yeah, and because the one when we first spoke, you know, I think you were saying, well, you couldn't believe how many people actually listened to my show because, you know,
yeah,
it's the kind of information that is coming out there. But it's again, the name of the show, as you know, is Shattering the Matrix, and that's exactly what it is. It could also be called Shattering the Illusion or Shattering the Delusion, because all of this is delusional thinking, and we're holding on to it like a blanket, like a little pacifier, you know, thinking that if we let go, it's the crutches, you know, it's spiritual crutches. If we let it go, then we're going to fall on our face, or we're not going to achieve an ascension, which is like the major big thing, you know, thing to achieve in this lifetime. You know, in the meantime, you know, we're shooting ourselves in the foot, because in pursuing this elusive ascension, we're going about it the wrong way, and we're not really doing it by connecting directly with that higher consciousness. We're going to miss so-and-so guru and so-and-so channeled information over here, which all sounds the same. It's all canned. Nobody has the discernment to figure it out, you know, on their own that, hey, we may have been duped here.
Yeah. Well, there it is, and I have something to say about ascension, if you don't mind.
Oh, please.
Okay. We are not here to ascend. One of the things that God told me years ago, by the way, I have a little book called God's Little Aphorisms, and it's full of these little nugget-like things. And because it was just something would just come to me out of the blue, like, and it was a zinger, and I knew it wasn't me because I wasn't that smart.
Okay, right. Not that you're not smart, but you're getting it from elsewhere is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting it from a higher source than my little consciousness, I can tell you that. But God told me there is no personal salvation. So the idea of all these little people, you know, standing there and each one is going to ascend, is there is no personal salvation because we are not individuals. We are all linked into this big collective consciousness. So it was like, give it up, Beth. You're not going anywhere. You can't escape reality.
Right.
The purpose of spirituality is to teach you how to live with reality in a state of grace.
Thank you.
The idea. We're not supposed to leave. We're supposed to figure out how to be here.
Exactly.
Buddha said, I am here. Now, I'll tell you something else that God has told me, that, you know, there's God has ego too, by the way, or we wouldn't have it, because we are a manifestation of the higher consciousness, not the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, we created God, but God created us. It's kind of, we are the God that created itself. Anyway, when you really look at it, what we really need is more higher consciousness on the planet, not more people figuring it out after they get up there or going to heaven or whatever. It's like we need to bring higher consciousness down. That means that God, if you want to call it God, needs to descend.
Yep.
We don't need to ascend.
Yep.
Higher consciousness has to descend.
I totally agree with that. Wow.
And I call that the vortex of change. It's like when you have that higher dimension, that chi energy, which I feel, you know, rushing through my body, even though I'm half dead most of the time and I'm in bed, mm-hmm. I can feel these energies. It's like, right? And channeling these energies, that's like coming from another level of, I don't know what, another dimension of the universe.
Yep.
You can feel that. That is God descending. So don't bother going up, guys, because you're missing the boat. By the time you get there, God won't be there anymore.
Yeah, we need to be infused with that here now so that we can make a difference. And a lot of people have it all wrong, and that's the problem.
Yes, and now this brings us back to ego.
Yep.
Because the individual eye with its limited thinking, and I really would love to suggest that your listeners just, if they go to my website, BethGreen.org, if you join my mailing list, you'll get a free download of my book, Living with Reality, which came, again, from another dimension.
And it's outstanding, by the way.
I started reading it.
Yeah, it's outstanding. It really is. So
thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. This book starts out explaining the ego in a very compassionate way so that we can all understand it. We understand why it does what it does, and then the whole book is really about how we free ourselves from the domination of that little self. You know, there was a prayer I heard in the 12-step program, which just really, I knew, I could feel intuitively this was right. It said, free me from the bondage of self. It's like, oh my God, can I ever get over myself? I can't stand me another minute.
I know that feeling.
The pettiness and the wham, wham, wham. You know, the message from the masters that I got was wham, wham, wham. So,
yeah.
Anyway, it was really, really cool. So please look at this book, and it talks about the state of human consciousness. It explains why we do what we do. It talks about addiction. Then it gives us a program for change that I've been using in our spiritual organization, the Stream Center for the New Spirituality. We're a community of very screwed up people who are living by these principles and practices. They're so down to earth, and we do the healing work. We do our own emotional healing, and we know these tools work. It took me 9 years to write this book.
My goodness.
9 years to really codify all of that information and bring it down in such understandable terms. There is nothing about that book you cannot understand. It is so common sense. Clear example. You've got to see yourself on every page. People say they see themselves on every page. That's why they can't stand reading it.
Right. Well, it's a manual to me. It's a manual that maybe we were missing, that we never got.
Thank you, Ari. It is. It's a manual for how to connect to and achieve higher consciousness and to become becoming, which is to overcome the limitations. Our egos have us brainwashed. And it's not because they're bad. It's because they are limited. It's like having a two-year-old running your life. You know, you should only stay two for so long.
Right, yeah.
Please read at least the introduction to the book, Ego, Instinct, and Evolution, because it will help make so much sense of your life, of everybody's life, of our society, about why the New Age movement is the way it is, why we are the way we are. But it's time. The ego must evolve. It needs to start saying yes to the oneness, yes to the higher consciousness that can help us to break free of the limitations that the ego keeps us in, and so that we can come to a state of peace and real relationship to the life that we've been given.
And amen to that.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness, we're at that verge where we're getting closer to, finishing the radio show. But I wanted to see how you would be able to address this with the audience. In other words, what is it that we, as those that came into this particular world, with all the talents that we all have, because again, you know, you are experiencing your reality or your embodiment the way you are. I'm experiencing it the way I am.
Yes.
We each have our own talents, our way of addressing the issues that we're facing. And many others are the same way. A lot of us heeded the call, we came, and a lot of us then have gotten derailed a little bit from our path, right?
Yes.
What do you suggest? Besides the fact that, yes, the ego, we need to address the ego and learn what that really is and all that, what else can we do, do you feel, to be able to be more empowered, to be able to start affecting change on this planet from, you know, whatever it is that we need to do now, whether it's raise the consciousness of the planet, what is it that we need to do to make things into a more positive way right now, because it's not looking that way right now?
Well, this is not an advertisement, but the new spirituality as I define it, which I talk about on the website, is about three things. One is we need to heal. We need to start caring for our physical bodies. We need to heal from our emotional traumas. We need to heal because when we are not well, we can't, most people can't get beyond that.
Exactly.
And cannot get beyond the patterning from our traumas. And so healing and really being good for our bodies, to our bodies. For instance, God told me that we are not spiritual beings having a human experience. You know, we are mind, body, spirit co-creations. We came into existence at the same time.
Yes.
So we can't treat any part of us or any aspect of our lives as outside of our spirituality. We're sacred totally. I mean, I even
you
have a program
it.
On sex and spirituality.
Yep, yep.
So that's the first thing, is to heal and to take all of that very seriously. And these are all kind of simultaneous. The second thing is we need to train our consciousness. We are not going to be automatically conscious. And that's why I wrote the Living with Reality book and all the other books.
Yeah.
Read them. You know, see how we need to retrain our thinking.
Yeah.
But we also have to have the healing so that we can make the change. Because if we're still all twisted up inside,
yep.
It doesn't matter what we think, we can't get past our reactivity.
We sure
can. I have a section in the book about, you know, self-awareness. It's all about our reaction, stimulus, reaction, response. And so that's the second piece, is we need to train our consciousness. I have a program called Consciousness Boot Camp that's on the internet, you know, that you can do live with me on the internet. But I'm not saying it's only me. I'm saying this is what all the new spirituality needs to deal with. And the third thing is to shift our relationship to the universe to one of integration, co-creation, being part of evolution. We need to see ourselves and feel ourselves, just like in this moment. Just feel yourself as part of a vast evolution, that you are not alone, and yet you cannot. That's the power. The surrender of the ego is the empowerment of the soul. Because we can then begin to become agents of divine consciousness. The answer to our questions and all of our problems lies in two simple approaches. One is we have to face reality, which we don't want to do, so we have to look at it. And the other is that we have to change. And the change needs to be that I become an agent of divine consciousness rather than ego consciousness. There's a practice in the Living with Reality book which we call doing that which is for the highest good of all, including ourselves. That's in Platform 4, Becoming Mutually Supportive. This is free. Read it, for God's sake. And it's what we're doing is we're starting to ask the question, what is for the highest good of all, including me? So if I go for the job interview, I'm not saying, oh, God, give me this job, or I'm going to manifest this job. It's like, who is the best person for this job should get the job? My God,
yep.
What a concept.
What a concept.
You see, that would change everything.
Sure.
Because if we began to understand that we can only thrive in a thriving world, which is the basis of my socialistic thinking, going back all the way to the beginning, which is from each according to his ability to each according to his needs. And sometimes what we need is a kick in the ass, by the way.
Right.
That doesn't mean coddling.
Yeah.
It's, you know, to come back to that, the divine consciousness can guide us from a more holistic perspective than I have by myself. My little ego, Beth, personality, reactivity, can get really bent out of shape by things. And I, you know, there it is. But I have to keep deferring to, all right, you know, where's the higher consciousness in this? How can I become an agent of the higher consciousness? Instead of asking God to become my agent, I become the agent of the whole. That would change the world.
Oh, yeah.
Think about that. Think about if we actually got together, the welfare recipients and the state officials and the welfare workers and the kids and everything, and talked about what is really going on with the welfare system. Let's get honest. Let's get honest. How is this helping? How is this hurting? What should we do? What would be better for all of us instead of getting into these battles, fighting, you know, politics, and this is my position, this is your position, and then see, is there some highest good of all that we can start striving for at least? And having that as a point of reference, I hope that answered your question. I know that was a very major question that you answered. I'll try to answer it as briefly as I could.
I think you did an outstanding job in addressing it. And with me personally, I'm a proponent of getting off your ass and doing something in whichever way, you know, whatever way that means to you, whether it's writing a blog, whether it's sharing an article with people, whatever that is. We need to be proactive, and that passivity has got to go. It's got to go. We're not going to advance anything this way.
That's right. We have to stand up for what we really believe, what we really feel in our hearts, what is coming to us from higher consciousness. We need to be willing to stand up to an entire world that says the opposite. And we need each other to do that, Ari. That's why we started here with the meeting our relations.
Yep.
We're not alone. We need to. Some people have the guts to stand up all by themselves, but most people don't.
Yeah.
So let's face that as a reality. Most people don't have the guts. So let's get into support systems. Like, we have free support systems at Stream. You know, let's get into support systems that work for us, that give us what we need, the support we have to speak, to be honest, to take those steps that you're talking about. I completely agree. It's like climate change. We cannot keep approving of the Keystone Pipeline and think that the climate problem is going to go away all by itself.
Right.
I couldn't agree with you more. We need to take action, but that action needs to be guided, and I know you agree with this.
Oh,
the action needs to be guided by the higher consciousness.
Absolutely.
And each one of us has a crucial role to play, because each one of us is a cell in the organism of the whole, and each one of us is a facet and has a piece of the solution. But we will only have a piece of the solution if we start listening to the higher consciousness instead of being dominated by our egos.
Whew. Amen to that one, too. I think I'm going to have to join your church.
All right.
It's awesome. I totally agree 100%. And to add to that, because we've run out of time, but I strongly believe, and I know that a lot of people are in agreement, that the time of the lone wolf is over.
Over.
We really need to work together. And
yes.
And come from that same, you know, understanding. What you've just shared and expressed with us today is identical to what I believe as well. And I know that a lot of people are on the same page. And hopefully this message will get out to a lot of people and start touching, you know, people in a much higher level, because we know this information. We know it.
Yes.
And once we listen to it and embrace it in our hearts, I know that it's going to make a lot of sense, and it's going to start allowing us to see the world and our role in it in a much different manner. So with that said, we've come to the end of our show. I just wanted to make sure that we talk about where the audience can find you again and how they can get the book and all that good stuff. So,
yes. Okay, my website is BethGreen, BethGreen.org. And if you go there, it has all the information. I've got a radio show called Inside Out, where I am just like totally myself, and people call me and I help them intuitively with whatever the topic is. And we take it on. We take on everything. I've got the Beth Greene TV on YouTube with all these videos. Those are all also, you can link to them through my website. I've got Beth Green School of Intuitive Counseling. You can join the mailing list to get Living with Reality as a free download. I also do music. I've got a free download of a piece of a CD called The Gift of Peace. I have 3 CDs out that you can listen to. I've got other books that you can look at. I've got something called 15 Minutes with Beth that you can call me for a private consultation that I'm making. I do women's groups. We do all of this via the internet. So you can be in consciousness boot camp if you want to, and you can do that because we do it via video conferencing. We can do things live. I mean, go to that website. You'll be knocked out. In fact, you probably won't even get through the whole website. But something there might touch you. And the most important thing is, if you like anything that I do, pass it on.
Yep.
Pass it on. That is an action.
Yep.
Talk about action, Ari.
Yep.
Just be willing to stand behind something that you agree with. And don't worry about what your friends think. Forget about what people think. That's the problem. Let's get to what God thinks.
Exactly. I really hope they do. And I know that once they just even read that introduction to Living with Reality, that is just so amazing. Just the introduction. And it's like over 600 and some pages.
688 pages. People read it in groups. You know, they'll have like a little study groups. We have them here at the stream, but you can do your own. There's a bunch of guys in Australia that are reading the book together because there's a lot of self-help stuff in the book, you know, questions that you can ask yourself. So it was meant to be also a self-guided tour through, instead of ascending, let's learn how to live with reality.
You got it. I love that, what you said in the video that I watched, delusional thinking and the magic of reality, I think it was. I heard you say something about that we wanted to be bilocating like ascended masters. How about just, I think you said something about, how about just dealing with this reality here, now,
right,
and then
right,
we can worry
right.
about, then we can worry about the other.
One place.
I love it.
Ella, you've been so wonderful.
Well, thank you very much, Beth. I appreciate you joining me today as well. I also wanted to let the audience know to visit as well my website, which is 2012emergence.com. I'm also the new website owner of 1-vibration.com, also known as One Vibration, which is a wonderful place also to obtain spiritual information as well as things that are happening around the world. And it's a great place to have camaraderie with others. And and please look out for my newest book, which is called Spiritual Warfare and the Art of Deception, The Hijacking of Spirituality, coming out very soon. So,
isn't that wild? Ari and I use the same term without even knowing each other.
I know. Well, that's because we're connecting to
we're
the same
one.
Source. Yep.
Yeah, we're connected to. By the way, I'm sending everybody a lot of chi because this is the divine energy is going to help us make the changes we think we can't.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that. So appreciate it. And I know that we're going to be having you know, a lot more talks because this is we're not even scratching the tip of the iceberg here. That we're not even scratching the surface. We're just getting started. We're getting warmed up, right?
Right. Absolutely.
There's a lot more to talk about. So thank you so much for joining us today, Beth, and for the audience. Thank you very much also for tuning in tonight. You've been all listening to Shattering the Matrix. My name is Ari Koppel, and hopefully we'll see each other next time. So good night.